This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, greetings to you from Music City, the beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. I'd like to sincerely welcome you to the Chris Brown True Stewardship Show, a show where we talk about God's way of handling this life. Not the world's way, God's way. A show where we don't expect for us all to line up with perfection, but a community seeking progress. Big difference. All striving together to be centered in Christ, not culture. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're a first-time listener, want to especially welcome you. We are on the radio, also at stewardship.com, and also you can find the show on iTunes. The phone number is 866-357-3283. You can always call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Leave a voicemail if we don't answer. Really, really appreciate all of you guys engaging in the show in some way, either calling in, emailing in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, and those of you that reach out on social media, the social media handle for the show and for me personally is Chris Brown On Air, and that's on all social platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Periscope, YouTube, Pinterest, you name it, it's all out there, Chris Brown On Air. So my favorite part of yesterday's show, we had a great call and it led to a brief discussion about contentment. If you were listening in on that show, you know what I'm talking about, because I actually said, hey, tomorrow I think I'm going to teach on contentment, and we're going to dive right in. You know, probably my favorite passage on contentment was brought to us by Paul in the book of Philippians. As Paul wraps up his letter to the Philippians, he begins to address a gift that the Philippian church sent his way. Well, Paul expresses his gratitude, of course, but he drops some truth bombs in the process, truth bombs that we can really learn from. Check this out. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is like to have plenty. I have learned the secret. I have learned, hold on to that word, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Paul is not only grateful for their heart and for their gift itself, but he's also very mindful to put the gift in perspective. He's also making it very clear that he's not sitting back and feeling entitled, waiting for gifts to be brought his way. He's not relying on gifts to carry him through. He actually puts an exclamation point on that particular truth, not relying on gifts to carry him through, in verse 13, when he says the very famous line that we all love, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Through who? Through gifts? No. Through him. He emphasizes that his full reliance is in Christ, not possessions, not gifts, not acceptance, not influence, not a platform, not fame, in Christ. Anybody remember being punished as a kid? What was your least favorite punishment? Was it timeout? Maybe a spanking? Maybe you were grounded? Oh, and let me just catch everyone up to speed. Okay, let me just tell you what a spanking is. Okay. Spanking is when you lean somebody over your knee, a little child, and you spank their rear end, and then you kind of stand them back up and you lovingly explain why you spanked them. That's a spanking. We don't do that very much anymore, but that's what happened to me as a kid. But time out, was it spankings? Was it being grounded? Was it chores, extra chores being thrown on you? Maybe a time or a privilege or a prized possession was taken away? I can remember as a kid graduating from each kind of punishment. I can remember the progression. I started off being punished with timeout. Chris, go to the corner. Go to your room. Go to the backyard. Bob, our producer, does this to me now. Chris, go in the studio. That's kind of like my timeout. Go in the corner was probably the one that happened the most. And then I guess that wasn't working. So then I started to get spanked. Then I graduated to a belt. That's kind of where I went. Then eventually, none of it hurt. I think mom and I did have several dads in my life. They noticed maybe a fake cry, you know? I don't know if that's happened to you as a parent, but some kind of fake cry. And so then I graduated, and I will say with honors, I definitely graduated with honors, to being grounded. And this was absolutely brutal to me at the time. Now, like as an adult, I'm telling you, I would love to be grounded. Anybody here would, anybody listening in, love to be grounded to your room for like 2 days just to rest, right? But man, when I was a kid, it was a big deal. Then I moved to chores. Go clean the garage. Go scrub the toilets. Go clean the inside. This one killed me. Go clean the inside of the large trash can that goes to the curb. Those things are nasty. But then the most brutal punishment of all came, the taking away of a prized possession. Brutal. It started off with taking away a baseball game or a football game or threatening to take away the whole season or going to a camp. Then when it was time to get my driving permit, it was taking away the permit. Then it was taking away the car that I'd worked so hard for. Check this out. A $300 1988 Ford Escort, faded red, with ground effects. Yeah, that one. Pretty awesome stuff. Paid $300 for that first car, 1988 Ford Escort hatchback. But when my mom took that away from me, my world was ruined. Do you remember what that was like? Okay, so I've got you there. I've got you to what that feels like. Two extremes, when the car means everything to you, and Paul being totally centered in Christ, totally content. My question is, where are we today? Where are you in regards to this contentment?
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown, and we're talking all about contentment today. So where are we with this? This whole contentment thing. We've talked about the extreme of your world being completely ruined when your childhood car is taken away. And then we're talking about Paul in the book of Philippians talking about how we learn contentment. Where are we? Is there a shift that may be necessary in our lives? As we use this passage for our filter, when we think about the gifts and opportunities that come our way day in and day out, how much does the abundance of gifts ignite the joy in our lives? How much does the lack of gifts, the lack of opportunity, destroy our joy? How much reliance do we have in our circumstances? Now, I'm not talking about some kind of lack of ambition, you know, where nothing means anything to us, so we don't strive after anything. I'm not talking about laziness, not talking about being apathetic to circumstantial variables in our lives. But how important are those circumstances in relation to what really matters? You know, Paul wants them to understand that his sufficiency is in the Lord and not in their ability to provide for him. This is powerful. When we not only get this cognitively, but also in our heart, to the point that it actually changes our behavior and how we process decisions, oh my goodness, it's huge. You know, contentment is it's an elusive commodity today. In fact, many industries actually work incredibly hard to produce this discontent feeling so that we acquire their products. You ever heard something like new and improved? When we hear this, what we do, we subconsciously feel like we have less than the best. You look at the TVs over the last 5 to 7 years, right? You had a flat screen. Oh my goodness, a flat screen. That's a big deal. It's awesome. Then they came out with better resolution and then better resolution and then better resolution to the point where you actually were watching a ball game and you can actually see inside the pores of an athlete and see when he's about to sweat or she's about to sweat even before they're hot. I mean, you could see everything, right? Crazy. And so once the resolution got so great and they're like, oh shoot, what do we do now? We can see everything. Now we have a curved screen. Ooh, because everyone needs a curved screen, right? We see lottery commercials that paint a picture of what we could do with the winnings of the lottery. And not in a mean spirit or anything, but they are deliberately trying to make us feel some kind of dissatisfaction with a part of our life by playing right up to our greed. They know it's there. And some of these media messages go as far as making us believe we're not significant if we don't have the best, if we don't have the newest. And of course, we would never admit it. We'd never admit we have a problem with this, right? But our decisions scream this reality. I was looking at a recent article found in the USA Today, and here's what the title says, okay? Headlines. Car loans now top $1 trillion as delinquency rates rise. Wow. Goes on to say, Americans are borrowing more than ever for new and used vehicles, and 30 and 60 day delinquency rates rose in the second quarter, according to the automotive arm of one of the nation's largest credit bureaus. Okay, this is a September article, September 7th, I believe. The total balance of all outstanding auto loans reached $1.027 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars. More consumers also are turning to leases, which accounted for 31.44% of all new car and truck transactions in the second quarter, up from 26% the year earlier. 26 to 31. Wow. It says the growing leverage that is supporting the industry's near record sales remains cause of concern. Hello, right? The average new car loan was $29,880. I've been telling you for the longest time it's $26,000. Now it's $29,000, up 4.8% from the second quarter of 2015 and about $4,000 less than the average new vehicle selling price. So people are borrowing $29,000 for a $33,000 car. That's what all that means. The average monthly payment on those loans was $499, up from $483 is the data they have a year earlier. $499. It says a growing portion of those loans are for a longer term, sometimes as long as 7 years. Why would you have to pay for a car for 7 years? Because there's been some discontentment. So you may hear me talking about, you know, the power of the media messages, and you may be thinking that they've got no power over you, right? Not you, but the stats and the research say otherwise. We need to be wise. Now think about it from an athletic contract standpoint. In sports, your contract is no longer a matter of making a sufficient living. Contracts are no longer about needs. They're about how much is offered compared to the other guy, the other gal. The athlete who gets a multi-million dollar long-term contract this year will want to renegotiate in a couple years, not based on performance, but because others are getting so much more than they are. It's not about money. It's about significance. Significance in comparison to others. And I'm not picking on athletes. It's just a great data sample of a much bigger problem in all of our hearts that we just have to admit. The drawback with this mentality is that we're never satisfied. If we don't take this thought pattern captive we'll spend our entire lives chasing a moving target. We'll be like that silly cat or that small dog running around the house chasing their tail. You've seen it before, and they look crazy. That'd be us. I know my dog goes absolutely bananas trying to chase the glare from our back window. I open and close the door, and he chases the glare all over the yard. It's absolutely hilarious. He's never going to catch the glare, ever. It's like us chasing our own shadow. We're never going to catch our shadow. And if we're never satisfied, then we're unable to enjoy life to the full because we are constantly feeling deprived. Let me give you a definition of what the Bible means by contentment. Contentment is not standing still, but contentment is the condition of the heart while moving forward. I'll say it again. Contentment is not standing still, but contentment is the condition of the heart while moving forward. You see, we strive for progress, but we're not overtaken by a quest for more. More relationships, more money, more possessions, more authority, more responsibility, more influence, more fame, more time, more, right? We're not overtaken by that quest. So here's a few truths about contentment. Some things that we can kind of take away, some practical handles for us. First and foremost, we got to understand that contentment is not something that comes naturally. It's not natural. We're naturally wired to compare our situations to other people. We naturally think when someone is finding success or they're earning some accolades that it actually comes at our expense. We naturally complain a lot. No, not you, right? Not you, not me. You know, some studies actually show that the average person complains over 40 times a day. What? I can't believe people would do that. Bob, I was going to tell you, it's actually a little hot in here.
Sorry, man.
We're always complaining, aren't we? Right? Another thing that is natural in us is wanting more. It's just very natural for us. You know where we see this very early in the Bible? It's everywhere in the Bible. Right? It's all the way throughout all this dialogue. I'm talking really early with Adam and Eve, all the way back in the beginning. It says, enjoy the whole garden, Adam. Enjoy the whole garden, Eve. Enjoy it all, but not this tree. Don't eat of its fruit. They had everything else, and it wasn't enough. And that's before all the media messages. So why do I tell you that? Because I want you to know today that you're not the only one who struggles with this. It's actually natural that you struggle with this. We are naturally sinners. We naturally put things before God. And the first step is realizing it and managing this pull towards discontentment. You know, contentment is a learned thing. We see Paul said that he had to learn to be content. Learn. Paul most likely did not learn contentment overnight. But he learned gradually. It's a process. We are a work in progress. You know, that might be a good thing for you to write down, maybe on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror. I am a work in progress. You're not going to lick this thing overnight, but there are some things that we can do to help. Like, stay out of the malls if you're a shopaholic. Hello. Stay away from car lots if you're the car guy. Or car woman. Stay away from the TV if you're one of those suckers for the late night shows selling things. For me, let me just be real honest with you. I need to pre-pack my meals every day because I am a sucker for eating out. I have to stay full nutritionally. I have to stay nutritionally content. So I don't find myself in want at the wrong time, which is about all day long. I have financial goals, I have physical goals, and eating out, just to be honest, is not part of the plan. I keep waiting for the day where I wake up and I'm automatically feeling content, but it's not going to happen. We have to be intentional. We can't just do something to become content. There's no magic pill that we can take. We must learn. There's that key word again, learn some things to become content. We need new perspective. We need a fresh attitude and a deepened faith, which has to be developed over time. It just does, which goes so much against our right now culture. I want it right now, but we can do it. We got this. So contentment is much deeper than possessions and conditions. Contentment is not about what you have, not about what you don't have. It's an attitude. Here's what it looks like. Paul told Timothy, check this out, it's awesome. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Like we said earlier, this is easy to say. It's a lot harder to do, right? It's hard to be content, especially when times are rough. And what do? We look around and see others who seem to be doing better than we are, and we suddenly just feel less than. It's tough to feel content when life's not going your way. But we also need to learn to be content when things are rocking. It's actually more difficult in some respects because you're not in the process of being humbled and broken. But in seasons where things are going well, we become more and more self-reliant. Am I alone on this, Bob?
No, Chris. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Well, you know, one of the most dangerous traps in our lives is comparison. I've struggled with it throughout my life and ministry and with money. In fact, Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. That's why I recommend Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Rachel focuses on the damaging money habit and walks you through solutions to comparison living, helps you to walk through this whole idea of contentment and discontentment. She unpacks 6 other healthy money habits for living the life we really want without being buried under debt, stress, worry. Are you tired of trying to keep up with the Joneses? Ready to put that time and energy into living the life that you want? Well, Love Your Life, Not Theirs will show you how. If you go to stewardship.com, this new book is available to pre-order in a special offer that includes over $70 worth of free bonus items for just $20. But this is the last week to pre-order the book and get the free items. So go to stewardship.com, pre-order the incredible bundle for $20 this week only.
We're grateful that you joined us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to thank you for sending us your questions and testimonies. Some of you have been sending words of encouragement to others in our stewardship community. Keep it up. We love it when you share your triumphs, your we did it moments. If you've had difficult experiences and God has brought you through, share it with us and you'll give hope to others. You can call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
We're talking all things contentment today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and we want to thank you so much for tuning in. A couple final thoughts for us. We've got to understand our level of contentment is a direct reflection of our relationship with Christ. Contentment is not about stopping something, but about starting something. Contentment leads us to a place where no matter what's going on, we know that we're in a better position than we actually deserve. We understand grace. And we understand we deserve eternal punishment, but are given eternal life in Christ. We deserve to be cast from God's presence, but we are declared to be part of his family. There's nothing that compares in value to what we've been given in God's grace. And we are the richest of people because of his mercy. So contentment is not about stopping being discontent. It's about praising him constantly and being so filled with gratitude that entitlement has no room to hang out. Your soul is already a sold out venue. It's filled with gratitude, contentment, and peace. Your soul is a sold out venue. There's no room. It can't even get in the door. We ain't got no time for that, right? So folks, here's the deal. Your foundation to being successful with finances, to being successful with relationships, to being successful professionally, is to be content. It's not something that we just do overnight. It's a learned behavior. It's a learned perspective, a learned attitude. And we've got to ask God to fill us with so much gratitude that discontentment can't get in there. And we've got to make sure that we're not putting ourselves around people or environments that actually fuel discontentment. It is the foundation to you being successful and having life the way God intended. John 10:10, life to the full, life abundantly. By definition, that means to the full. That means no room for discontentment, no room for wanting more, because your life is already full. Well, folks, it has been an absolute pleasure today. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, this is the last week to pre-order Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, and receive over $70 worth of free bonus items. And that's all right there at stewardship.com. I'm still not done with this contentment stuff. I'm going to bring you some more in the days ahead. But contentment, it is the foundation of good personal finances, of godly stewardship. Remember, godliness with contentment is great gain.